Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, the Big Ten dominating the college football playoff home games. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, we start out with your Cavaliers and their rally falling short yesterday despite the barrage of sharpshooting from the Celtics. They lose 120 to 117. The storyline, obviously, the three-point shooting difference. Cavs made 10, and in a different era, that would be all-time great. Mm-hmm. But they end up getting outscored by 36 from three-point range as the Celtics went 22 of 41. Third straight game, the Celtics have made 20 or more threes. Yesterday, I saw, obviously, a lot of people on social media, well, if Boston doesn't shoot that well, I got news for you. This is kind of what they do. Like, have you ever watched a team? Like, Golden State, when they first arrived on the scene, you kind of thought, with the exception of Draymond and maybe Iguodala, every three was going to go in, right?
Yes.
I felt like every three was going in yesterday with Boston. Like, I thought every single one was going to go. That was where I was mentally. And I just think it's going to be that way when you play them. You just have to hope they have a bad night.
I think that's a fair observation.
You don't think I'm building them up too much?
No. I mean, they shoot 60 a night, for crying out loud. So, yeah, if they have a good night shooting threes, that's it.
Yeah. 51 is the official number. They were 10 below that yesterday. Do you think that they'd let the foot off the gas?
No.
During portions of that game?
I really don't.
They kind of start messing around.
I think there's ebbs and flows with every game, though, but I don't think that they took their... The Cavs are playing for something. I mean, you can't... I'm going to start a fight with you. You can't tell me that it's a meaningful NBA Cup game, and then, they took their foot off the gas and let the Cavs back in it. The Cavs are going to play their off the entire game.
I kind of thought Boston did that in that playoff series last year, too. I thought they would get leads and kind of feel like, all right, we can hunker down.
I felt that way during the postseason last year, which was frustrating. I did not feel that way last night. I really didn't. I felt that they try a few things? I'm sure, but I'm sure the Cavs had to try a few things because of their lineup problems that they had where you had three guys out. But I felt that, like, it's a November game. Did they go full balls to the wall? No, probably not, but I don't even know if the Cavs really did. Mm-hmm. So, I thought it was a well-played game between two good teams. Like somebody said, well, Ken, you said yesterday it's a measuring stick. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Yeah, it was a measuring stick, and you measured up against the best team in the NBA, the defending champions. And you didn't beat them, but you played with them. That's a measuring stick. Well, it's not a win or just stop talking about the Cavs.
I saw people alluding to how are they not adjusting to this? And I kind of got bad news for
you. It's hard to make those adjustments if you don't have those players.
I don't think there's adjusting. I think Boston's going to get good looks. I think the way they play and the talent, like I said, they have as close to a perfect roster as I think you can assemble.
It's a great start to the season.
They've got all these two-way players.
But none of this is fixed in thoughts of, like, I don't know if there's a trade that you can make. What I'm frustrated with, I don't think and I don't believe there's a trade that you can make that is going to all of a sudden be the Celtics beater. So it's going to be an uphill battle no matter what you do. I just don't want you to roll over and die the way I think you've done in the past. And I think that there's ways to make this thing work. With Dean Wade, I think it helps make it work if he were on the floor. I think it went to with Ty Jerome, who's healthy, that's always an if. I think you can make that work. We'll see what happens when Max Strus comes back from injury.
Owen? You're my basketball Sherpa, right? You know more about this than I do. If Wade's out there, if Okoro's out there, if Caris LeVert's out there, does it change the outcome last night?
Maybe they don't. Like, the way Caris has been playing.
Yeah.
But he's always been feast or famine, but this year he hasn't. He's been really good, so.
I didn't realize until I'm looking at the box score now. They played eight guys last night, and one of them was Craig Porter Jr., who hasn't played a ton this year, right?
He's outstanding.
He played 25 minutes and was great, hit those three threes, and then Yang played 30 minutes last night.
Right. They absolutely could have used those guys. I just don't, like, I've watched them with Okoro, like, Boston could just shoot over them. Tatum and Brown can get to their spots, even against Okoro, and he's really the Cavs' best perimeter defender. So I do think, in a perfect world, you want all your bodies. The problem is they get Porzingis.
So we need one guy to shoot better. And that one guy's Darius Garland.
Yeah, you needed Darius to shoot a lot better. So, first of all, here's Kenny Atkinson on what he learned about his team last night.
The first thing we learned was the force and physicality. They had playoff force and physicality. We had regular season force and physicality, and that's why we're down. Whatever we were down at half, second half, we turned it up, but it's kind of too late. We're just going to have to put it in the bank and try to make adjustments.
He did. I think a lot of teams just totally get blown out the way that Boston shot the ball last night. Meanwhile, Darius Garland, that was obviously the big weakness. He was 3 of 21, and that length, that size really seemed to bother him. Then he was in his own head, I think, throughout portions of that game. They targeted him too, man. Boston, that's how you knew they kind of did treat it like a playoff game. You haven't seen teams really go at Garland like you will in the playoffs, and they did. They were like, we are starting every possession. We are hunting whoever Darius Garland is defending, because they have that is an advantage they have right now. And that's even without Porzingis.
Yeah, this is going to be the fight that we have. Like, when you get to the postseason, they will continue to attack him. He is not going to be, it's not like all of a sudden he's not going to be the focal point. I'd be very surprised. They will continue to attack him.
He battled. I mean, he had a nice block of Derek White. He really did. He battled as good as well as I think he possibly can. But unfortunately, those offensive numbers were just such a struggle. So here's first the coach and then Darius on what happened yesterday.
This is an excuse. The density of our schedule has been enormous. And he's rolled it out every night, and he's played unbelievable. I think he hit a wall. He won't say that. I'll say it. It's part of the NBA. It's too bad it happened. But like I said, he's been going at it really hard for us, to, you know, over this first stretch of the schedule.
Me just missing shots. I thought I had some pretty good ones. I think most of them was pretty good, to be honest with you. And shots that I make regularly. And just didn't fall for some reason.
From what you heard from Atkinson, excuse or justification? Because I actually will go with justification.
I'm going to go with justification.
I know that
I don't know. There's
not like a coach told me the truth for the first time.
Well, when JB was here, after a while, it just became, all right, these are all excuses. Everything's an excuse. Every single timeout, you seem like you're blaming everybody else, except maybe, you know, sometimes you just have bad games too. They have played so much more basketball in a confined amount of time that I do think caught up to them also last night when you didn't have those other guys. That could be, oh, and you asked about those guys. That's where they definitely could have used those guys. Kenny, we have another Cleveland Coach of the Year Manager of the Year.
Yes, we sure
they
as hell
did it
do.
Again, how about Stephen Vogt receiving 27 of the 30 first place votes? He joins Tito in 2022, Tito in 2016, Tito in 2013, Eric Wedge in 2007, Mike Hargrove. Didn't win it. Mike Hargrove never won Manager of the Year.
Crazy. How the hell are you the manager of the Cleveland Indians in the mid-90s, the early to mid-90s, and you're not Manager of the Year?
Too talented.
How is that possible?
They were too talented.
Did they not? It's just the American League Manager of the Year, right? There's a National League Manager of the Year as well. Correct. I want to make sure before I go shooting my mouth off. Did they not award Manager of the Year in 1994 because of the strike?
I doubt it. I mean,
was robbed by the strike.
They were locked out.
Then he was robbed by the strike, by the lockout.
They tried to vote. They went to the voting place. The doors were locked.
Well, it looks like they gave an award.
They
in 94.
Did.
Buck Showalter. The Yankees.
Oh my God!
I take back everything I said.
I bet you're really happy over there, aren't you?
Oh, he was loving that.
I wasn't even alive yet.
He was loving it
in the womb.
Right,
was your mom pregnant with you yet?
We're back to AI Mitch.
Not until 96.
We're back to AI.
96, huh?
We're not letting him go anymore.
Good morning, guys.
Would like to be in the room for that one. That'd have been fun.
More Yankee talk. All right, here is Vogt on what he learned in his first year.
The time management, learning how to navigate that on the fly while also going out trying to win ball games and help people just continue to develop in their career. So just the overall totality of the job is probably the biggest learning that I had, and how every day you have to approach it the exact same. You know that going into it, but until you actually go through 162 games plus playoffs, it's going to be something that I lean on for the rest of my career.
It was beyond my wildest dreams what he did this year. All expectations, I think he was absolutely surpassing all of them.
Wonderful season.
We'll get to how much that really matters.
Well,
Coach of the Year, a Manager of the Year.
There is a comparison that needs to be made, and that will probably come up at around 7:20.
Finally, Ohio State is your 5 seed. They would host a first-round game against BYU. Bring it. Notre Dame would host Alabama. Penn State would host Georgia. Indiana would host Ole Miss if the season ended today with Boise, Oregon, Miami, and Texas getting the byes.
If you host BYU, do they bring the Cougar?
Yeah,
not a real Cougar. I mean the mascot that
There's a bunch of them. Rocky River.
Jumps out of planes.
Not?
Jumps out of planes. There's cougars in Rocky River.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place.